That, as you might expect, was Sunshine Down from Spare and Change, Sitting Pretty with Mr. Paradise, one of them street groups I ran across in my travels. I actually don't remember who, when, where, or what they looked like, but I liked their music, so you get some of it, too. It's Free Radio Santa Cruz you're tuned to, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. Expecting Mad Mike the Wonder Dog to be coming into the studio to give us some of his wild and crazy stuff. And also, we're going to be getting a call in about half an hour from Drum Circle Dave, unless he calls earlier. You never can tell with Drum Circle Dave, because, of course, yesterday was the Wednesday, formerly Farmer's Market Drum Circle. Now, I don't know, we're going to call it the Soquel Bridge Drum Circle. I don't know what to say, but that's where the Drum Circle has been, should we say, moved to, as it sort of scurried around town with the police after it and finally lodged there. It seems like a pretty nice place, actually. The weather's been temperate. Summer heat hasn't really hit yet, so it was really nice yesterday when I stopped there. People enjoying themselves. Very little police harassment that I saw at the time, and I haven't heard of anything since, so keeping my fingers crossed, hopefully they didn't repeat what some of us had feared was going to happen when the drum circle moved away from the protective cover of the farmer's market, where there may be some farmers who don't like the drum circle, some who do, but there's a large crowd of people who go there, and the police would have to rather publicly act to drive away the drum circle. And when they tried that in September of 2008 and created a near riot, I think they thought better of it and they backed off. But now they have this kind of coup that's happened where the farmer's market is simply kind of colonially moved over the entire area where the drum circle was, although they didn't need to. They could have taken other parking areas on either side if they'd wanted, with some commercial ventures such as Lulu Carpenter's Coffee, which is now sitting on the drum circle space where the drummers were drumming and where people were actually giving away free coffee. Now you get to pay $3 a cup. So it's capitalism in action, folks. Anyway, we'll be getting reports later on that. You are tuned to 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, in case you want to call in. Call-in number is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, or you can try 469-3119. Off-air voicemail, in case you want to get in touch with collective members, leave a public service announcement, donate stuff, or have a question answered, you can call 427-4523, 427-4523, and perhaps Uncle Dennis, whoever else is covering for him, will be well enough. He hasn't been too well lately, but maybe he's going to be better tonight. Hopefully he will be. Hopefully he's gotten better. He has a show after mine, From the Cream to the Dregs, runs from 8 to 11. Lots of environmental updates and some historic rock stuff, which I kind of like, actually. So I recommend that. I'm going to begin this show with just an announcement and reminder. Tomorrow is a Street Performers Guild meeting. You don't have to be a card-carrying member of the guild. We actually don't have cards, and we don't really have formal members either. Any street performer, self-proclaimed performers are welcome, and any supporters are welcome. I guess even members of the public are welcome, although those who aren't street performers are encouraged to allow the performers to kind of take the lead in the discussions and the votes and so forth. And that's going to be happening tomorrow, Friday, June 11th, at the Loudon Nelson Center at 5 o'clock. It runs for an hour and a half. And you might be interested if you want to consider some issues. I guess some of the things may be coming up, although I haven't seen any formal agenda. But some performers have been talking about trying to reestablish the open mic that the earlier Street Performers Guild set up initially down near the old India Joe's restaurant when it was down there near, what's the Center Street Grill where that is now. And then there was moved it to Broadway across from the Art League when it started up again. And there's some talk about starting it up a third time. There's also, of course, a lot of concern about the unreasonably disturbing noise ordinance, which is the law being used by Santa Cruz police to essentially run off musicians about whom there is even one complaint. And that I've talked about that at length. I'm actually facing a charge for singing on Pacific Avenue, singing the homeless lyrics song to Downtown, the old Pet Clark tune. My trial comes up on the 20th of July. One person has been convicted, Becky Johnson. There's some talk of maybe trying to support at least the right of street performers not to be driven away under this ordinance. And this peculiar court decision which found Becky Johnson guilty because she sang during the day and that woke up somebody who was trying to sleep during the day in the residential apartments. And that was apparently sufficient to persuade Judge Almquist that she should be denied her First Amendment right to sing. And we're hoping that decision will be overturned. It's being appealed, but we'll see what happens next with that one. I think we need, of course, an injunction against this ordinance and probably a better law that actually comports with, you know, a real decibel level loudness sound or has to do with some other standard that actually has something to do with really disturbing noise and not subjectively allowing residents and merchants to essentially drive away street culture, which is what's been happening over the last, particularly over the last couple years, but over the last few decades, actually. So that's tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Street Performers Guild meeting. And Huff is going to is going to be meeting at a new time, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which was meeting at the Sub Rosa, with not getting too many takers in the morning on Wednesday, is moving to Wednesday afternoons. I think it's 5 o'clock. Maybe it's 5:30. I'm a little bit hazy on that, but somewhere in that general vicinity out at the Drum Circle area at the Soquel and River Streets, right next to the Soquel Bridge. We're going to sort of mix the Huff meeting with the Drum Circle situation so we can keep an eye on what's going on, invite people to come over and talk about any problems they've had with police, law enforcement, parks and rangers, and other discriminatory stuff that does happen in downtown Santa Cruz. with some regularity, actually, if you're a person who's out there on the streets. Or if you're homeless and you try to sleep at night after 11 o'clock and the police decide to target you for one reason or another. Although Sergeant Harms assures us that only happens with the wrong kind of person. So if you trust your local police to make those kinds of choices, well, then you're in the right town. And the sleeping ban, the law that makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night on all public property in the city limits and much private property, even in your own vehicle, legally parked, this is the town for you. In a town with no legal shelter for the overwhelming majority of 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people. And a city council that hypocritically claims to be one of the best homeless service-oriented councils in the state. I think Vice Mayor Coonerty has said in the nation. He has a great sense of humor, or he's really, really oblivious to the facts, which I think is more likely the case. So let's begin with some street interviews and proceed. You're welcome to call in at any time. If you got some comments, if you had some similar experiences, if you have some strong reactions, feel free to call in. Or some breaking news about what's been happening in the last week that we should know about. Do give a call, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, and away we will go. So.
Well, I'm down here on the Pacific Avenue Concrete Mall, which is actually being kind of overhauled at Soquel and Pacific, and it's about 10 to 7. I'm here with the infamous Bob Noxious and his direct to YouTube.
Direct, Robert.
Direct to YouTube, a radio on the streets with his $800 thingamabobby, which he uses sparingly, or perhaps
Kalis. Not sparingly,
Kalis.
KLSD Radio, Santa Cruz.
You're also a person notorious for broadcasting, or I should say beaming.
Live internet feeding, that's correct, Robert, on the mall here, Santa Cruz Mall.
You put on the back of the Del Mar Theater, and they chastise you for playing old videos, or new videos, actually, on the back of the Del Mar Theater the other day.
That's correct. We shoot the local color, the musicians. The wing nuts?
Shooting the city council, which might be a very good idea. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm sure they're good at heart.
Walk that bike, sir. Walk that bike.
I'm sure we're good at heart. Anyway, and we're down here getting some really good shots of a lot of people. We're trying to avoid the people that are paranoid and critical and impulsive with their methods of irrational knowledge, which are based on the interpretive critical association of delirious mental images in relation to the typical wackos around the street.
Sounds. Now, you also have a plan to establish not just a street performers guild, of which you are a member, but a street performers council.
That's correct, Robert. We are starting the street performers council. It was a unanimous decision amongst five of us about 10 minutes ago.
And who are these five malcontents?
Well, we're people that actually play here on the street just about every day.
Uh-huh.
And
who cares about you? What about the people that play once every 3 weeks and get a permit and have fancy outfits?
Well, God bless them, you know. I mean, you know, I wish them well, and anything I could do to help them, you know, I'll back them 100%. You know, as a Zen Buddhist, I am into service and helping, you know, as it were.
As it were.
But I just want to say, you know, that some of us out here are here in Rio in the city streets, and we really do play here every day just about. And lots of times we play on into the night till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, just like 2 days, 2 nights ago, we had six. It was about 2:45 in the morning, and six conservative women came walking up to us playing here. We had six strumming musicians, and they came up, and they were real straight conservative ladies, and they started singing with us, and they were magnificent. We all got...
What time of day? This is
in the afternoon? No, 2:45 at night.
At night?
A.M.
So this was, what, Sunday night, Saturday night, Friday night?
It must have been Friday night.
So it would be Friday night, Saturday morning, perhaps.
That's correct, Saturday morning. It was amazing, and that happens all the time.
Conservative and intoxicated, I assume.
Actually, they weren't so bad. They were great singers, and, you know, we all got hugs, and we got invitations to come with, but we gracefully turned them down as it was too late at night. We needed to get some sleep.
You needed to preserve your precious bodily fluids as well for your musical activities and your broadcasting work. So if you say that there are... five or six people that were setting up a drum, not a drum, a street performers council. What's the difference between the council and the guild?
Well, my take on it so far is the council is actual street performers that are actively doing it now and have been for many, many years. The original gangsters, you might say, the OGs.
Songsters?
Songsters, I should say, yeah. You know, a lot of laws have to be changed around here. They're absolutely, so outdated, it's ridiculous. So we aim to help that process along.
You aim to change.
That's correct. And as a matter of fact, since we are here in Rio and out all the time on the city streets and we know what's really up, you know, we can really effectively make some serious, you know, ground roots changes, you know.
Well, thank you, Bob.
I'll
be getting back here. Mr. Malkin, I see you're here with your bicycle after you emerged from the community dialogue that you were dialoguing at and facilitating today on this May 23rd. You mentioned community policing. Do you want to tell the community just what you mean by this questionable term?
Well, it's an idea that I've had for a long time.
Move away from these percussionists so that I can actually hear you.
I'm totally here to...
Oh, you're here to hear the... You're here to hear the beat.
Yeah.
Go ahead, then.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to talk over the percussion.
No, I just realized I played percussion and piano for dance classes at UCSC for 15 years until my son was born a couple of years ago. Wireless is up there doing the same thing.
He's playing a number of pots.
Well, he also plays for dance classes.
You might call him a pothead of a kind.
You could say that. The community policing thing, I don't use the word community policing, actually.
Community response?
Yeah, and actually I realized I live kind of in the direction of Brant's 40 Volunteer Fire Department, and there was a sign up about a month ago that said, come to a community meeting for Community Emergency Response Team. That's what I want to create. What they have is a volunteer fire department. I'd like it to be more expansive. It'd be a volunteer police department in a way to respond to any conflict situations, emergency situations. People are trained primarily in nonviolence, but some of them would have training in maybe Aikido or some... they'd have preparation to use protective use of force. And I mean, idealistically, I see this as replacing police departments. We could meet our needs for safety without having the police come with guns. And there was some interest.
Strip the police of their weapons. So in other words, you're worse than the Republicans. You want to get rid of the weapons of the police so the gangsters will take us over. I suppose you oppose the Second Amendment as well.
Boy, that's a lot to...
That's all to take in, isn't it? I know it's a little thick for you liberal types.
We've just had 3 hours of discussion, which I thought was really, really great, really rich. People listen to each other, which is a big thing.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. That's what I always say.
What is the pick a little?
Well, it's 76 trombones. I mean, it's the music man. It's a reference, actually, to a bunch of people gossiping away in a circle and doing little more than that. We can hope
to hear that was what you took away from that.
Not necessarily. I'm taking me, always trying to take the more cynical view. But
I know that about you. Watch out for the...
standing on the whatever the items are here.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I'm going to give you a hand if you need it. In any case, no. I found many of the... both of us were at the community... the Downtown Community Dialogues, as they're called, which will be continuing tomorrow and the next day, I understand, in order to voice angst, anguish, and feeling about the events of May 1st. and possible solutions without actually putting into effect, just chatting about possible solutions.
Well, yeah, it's interesting how quickly, well, you're frustrated. You want to see
some results. What are you saying, man?
I understand you want to see some action and some results. I know that about you, and I know today maybe that didn't meet your needs for that. Hopefully.
Nothing ever meets my needs. Let me tell you more about that.
Tell me about your mother. Lie down for a moment, Robert.
She's with a good woman. She had her problems.
Are your parents alive?
No.
Neither
one
of them?
One died at the age of 96, the other at the age of 80.
Wow.
Who knows when I may dive after them.
Does that lend to the possibility you're going to live till 90
years? Only if I take care of myself the way they did, which is not terribly likely.
I doubt they took care of themselves the way you are taking care of yourself.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
no, I'm for sure. They were... but let's leave
How would you like to take care of yourself in a more...
If I were... Well, I mean, you have to watch your diet. You have to watch your weight. You have to exercise regularly.
Do you get exercise? Do you like exercise?
Well, I wander around exercising my tongue a great deal.
I've noticed that about you.
Yeah.
So maybe your tongue will live well after the rest of your body.
My voice will continue. Hopefully it will be a beacon to those who follow. Or if not a beacon, perhaps a burden.
I heard that now you can actually get your tongue frozen, and then when they find out what disease the rest of your body died from, they can reinvigorate your tongue, say, 100 years from now, and you can continue the dialogue that
you've
left off with.
What will science think of next? But in any case, getting back to community policing, which you as a former member of the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, or Review Board, as they sometimes like to style themselves under Kate Bowden's able leadership, you were a member of that board, as well as a member of the group that created the somewhat defanged version of the board, thanks to Scott Kennedy and Catherine Byers, who delayed the board's creation for at least 3 years.
And what do you want to know?
I don't know. I just wanted to make a speech, actually. No.
All I have to say is, freeze that tongue. Freeze that tongue.
Community policing. I mean, community emergency response. The nonviolent alternative to guys with guns and attitudes.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, there's a lot of historical references to this and experiments with this that we can learn from. Gandhi had the Shanti Sena, peace army.
Right. What did they do?
They were trained in nonviolent civil disobedience, non-cooperation. They would handle conflict situations like, for example, heavy-duty ones like another country invading your country and colonizing it. So his idea was to get rid of those violent colonizers would be handle your own communities, create your own clothing, make your own food, handle your own security needs.
And violate the salt tax, I suppose. You know, Gandhi had no respect for authority. I noticed that about him.
Not human-made.
British brought these savages everything they needed, and what was their response?
Well, this is the thing about anarchists. Yeah, there's a real connection to moral authority, like natural laws of the world.
I suppose you want to turn Afghanistan back to the savage Taliban. You support the bombers, don't you, Mr. Anarchist?
What?
Ha-ha! We got him now, folks. Go ahead. Go make a response. Go ahead. I'll give you at least 10 seconds.
Look where we're standing.
Yes. You're standing in the street.
Gunner
illegally.
Left.
I am...
Really?
No,
can I get arrested?
I don't think so, but we're actually standing in an area that's roped off with different markers. Apparently they're... cementing. Yeah, they created a kind of a platform here in SoCal and Pacific.
This is now the true underground of Santa Cruz.
I suppose so. You could get
you thought you were the underground. Now
take
there's
off that sanitary sewer cover.
Under the underground.
So there is... So far, you have any volunteers for your emergency community nonviolent response team?
Oh, I thought you had signed up as director.
The tongue. I am the tongue. I'm the tongue.
Oh, yeah, you're the Ministry of Tongue.
I'll give you tongue.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to go have dinner because that was a lot of energy and focus, so I'm going to go replenish my...
Chow down.
Body. Chow down, that's the way to say it, yeah.
So for those who want to assassinate you, where do you usually eat dinner?
For those who want to assassinate me, yeah. I always eat dinner at the Russell Orphal Regal.
Aha. Hope yeah. you got that, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
It was difficult to hear, but I can assure you it was intentionally obscured. Thank you. We've been talking with
Juan Malkin.
That's John Malkin for you English speakers. You know, it is America. Talk American. Whoops. Sorry for that.
John Malkin is a regular commentator on Free Radio Santa Cruz. He has his own show on Wednesdays, which is called the name of that show is The Great Leap Forward. There we go. A little trouble finding it on the schedule there. John was indeed probably the only truly active member of the Citizens Police Review Board for its first 5 or 6 years. Well, maybe there were a couple more. He helped to create it, although it was a crippled board from the beginning. It was around in the 90s, overseeing police activity, occasionally disagreeing with the police chief, providing mostly a kind of a pressure letter outer, if you will, to allow people to blow off steam. And they did one independent investigation where the actual officer was found guilty of excessive force. Although I don't think he did actually leave the force and go to another city. That was Officer David Lefebvre, who assaulted Juliana and her child at the Yugoslavia 1999 demonstration at the McPherson Center way back in May of that year. And Steve Argue, defending her, punched Lefebvre in defense of this mom and child, he claimed. And he was found guilty of assaulting an officer, jailed for 9 months, and then came back and ran for city council unsuccessfully, has done a radio show on Free Radio, and he's a regular or an occasional guest on my show and a regular observer of Santa Cruz events. That's Steve Argue. But John Malkin is perhaps of a somewhat more conservative cut, although John's been... I've had his interviews on the show before. He's a musician. He's a pianist. He's an articulate author as well, and he's been working on nonviolence for decades, and hopefully he will be more successful. Let's take a musical break while I check things out here. And I think we're going here. Come on, baby. There we go.
Rolling, rolling child, I'll roll 10 years gone, nothing's changed. The corner store is still the same. People come, yeah, the people go. And the point of this, well, I don't know. Rolling, they are rolling, child. They'll roll on to a better day today. Child, roll on to a better day today.
And that, when we finally got to it, was another cut from Spare and Change, Sitting Pretty with Mr. Paradise, and it's called Rollin'. So, you're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, in case I didn't mention the name of the show, and the call-in number is 427-3772. We're listening to interviews. We may get a call soon from Drum Circle Dave, who... he sounds half the time like he's got some sort of a drum orchestra behind him, but who knows what that means. He is a regular participant in the Wednesday Drum Circle activities, and indeed we actually have another occasional visitor to that circle with us live in the studio and in color. I believe we're talking about Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. Hey, Mike.
Fuck the police.
Indeed. And, Mike, you actually had a show on Free Radio for a number of years yourself, right?
Oh, the Agent Orange show. That was a long time.
And that was back in the 90s, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a man who has been through a lot of experience, including with our penal system. You've explored a number of nasty prisons, right?
Right, yeah. I got three California prison numbers. I have one Nevada prison I've ever had. I was in the chain gang in Florida. I even went to prison in Switzerland. And I got a bad conduct discharge. I was on a break for 6 months.
And now, have you ever murdered anyone? I want to misknow so I can make a quick getaway here.
Not as far as I know.
Okay. Now, I won't go into some of your more questionable activities in Santa Cruz, which are famed but perhaps little known. But you're back. How long have you been back? Last time I saw you, the police were talking to you, and you admitted you were on parole or probation or one of those other exciting statuses?
Both.
And what's the story? Are they? I mean, I know you sleep outside, so are you sleeping illegally somewhere?
Yeah, I'm Camp Defiant. They told me May 23rd I had to move. I say, fuck them. I'm staying exactly where I'm at. I'm not going anywhere. Even a rat, there's supposed to be a nature reserve, and the wood rats there have a fucking hole to go to, and humans can't even have a fucking place to go to sleep, to lay their head. But goddamn rats got more rights than
it's
humans.
It's money, my son. If you don't have money, what the fuck are you doing in Santa Cruz?
I just want you to die and get out of the way. Live like a fucking turtle with your goddamn house on your back. You know, like a turtle, and as long as you keep moving and don't stop, they can tolerate you. But the moment you stop, try to lay your head, then they want you to...
Mike, when did you come to Santa Cruz initially? Do you remember your first day here, what year that was?
1987.
In the 80s you were here.
Yeah.
And what attracted you to Santa Cruz, and did you then stay, or did you kind of move on after?
I got the military, and I came back to California after I got out of prison in Nevada. Because shortly after I got in the military, I ended up doing a little bit of prison time in Nevada. And I came here. It was cool back then. You know, it ain't like it is now. You know, like fucking shops you drop, fucking San Jose by the sea. The yuppies are taking over. But back then, all the hippies moved out. Hippies were cool. Drum circles, music. Everything was mellow. You know, it was like still kind of a little sleepy little surf town. But now it's changed for the much worse. You got these fucking oligarchy in there, these motherfuckers who just run like Coonerty and Brockton and all those punk motherfuckers, Don Lane and that big bird looking bitch, Cynthia Matthews, with a fucking ugly ass. Probably woke up in the bed, but I better stick my dick in the car door and slam it about 100 times and put it in her.
Well, I don't think your sexual preferences are really the main topic of my show there, Mad Mike. But your political views interest me, and as well as, you know, your life. What have you noticed on the street in the last couple of weeks that you think deserves our attention?
Well, it's an increase those so-called quality of life crimes. We're like, you know, we was trying to do a little. We was actually trying to register people to vote, by the silly-ass fucking penguins. The penguins got more rights than homeless people or anybody. You can't stand 14 feet by these stupid-ass penguins. They put this art, they're using, it's shitty to use art against the homeless and the poor. They're using these fucking penguins to 14 feet in any direction. You can't panhandle this, which is a free speech. You have a right to panhandle, stuff like that. And you have to, they can cite you or get you a ticket. You get more than, I guess the same thing like the sleeping thing. You get more than one ticket within a 48-hour ticket period. It turns to misdemeanor, something like that. They can arrest you or something.
You're talking about the... Actually, we have a couple new laws. One of them says if you don't attend to three infraction tickets, that becomes a misdemeanor at the discretion of the... maybe it's not even the discretion, but it can become a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. But as you point out, even two infractions, if done within... It's within 24 hours if it's the sleeping ban. There have actually been some changes in that law since you were here in the 90s. I know you were here since then, but you were really active during that time. But I think the sitting ban and the panhandling ban and the tabling ban, and I use the words ban to indicate in most places, banned in most places. Sleeping is actually universally banned on all public property after 11 o'clock at night. Political tabling is banned on all sidewalks within business districts in Santa Cruz that are less than 10 feet from a building, 10 feet from a kiosk, 10 feet from a phone booth, 10 feet from a crosswalk, 10 feet from a corner, I believe, 10 feet from a bench. As you point out, 10 feet from an art sculpture. You were saying 14 feet, but it's 10 feet. You can stand right next to an art sculpture if you want. You can stand wherever you want. But if you try to either sit down or spare change or politically table or play music with a display device in an open guitar case, that is a crime. And, in fact... that's what you and other Huff activists from Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom were challenging yesterday when you were doing protests downtown under the leadership of activist Becky Johnson. And I did a lot of recording of that, so I'm going to kind of move past that because I've got tapes in which we actually interview you, and we interview her, and we both during the actual protest and after, and I'll be playing that, so I don't want to do too much duplication. What I'd like to do is get your thoughts about some of these interviews I'm about to play. I'm going to play some tapes, and I'd like you to just, at any point, tell me to stop, and we can, if you got some thoughts about this stuff, we can talk about it. But, feel free to comment on anything I've said.
I just want to say one thing. They got this bullshit, Take Back Santa Cruz. We're the real Take Back Santa Cruz. We're the real patriots, not these motherfucking punk assholes these right-wing Nazi asshole punks who think they got the sole right to have peace, freedom, and a place to live. They lay their damn head, but they don't want anybody else to have it. These mall merchants, we're going to put a boycott on these mall merchants, the ones who are with the Downtown Association, who is against homeless rights, and people just sitting. I talked to some UCSC students. It was just the act of sitting on a curb to tie your fucking shoe, you get a ticket. And what they're doing illegally now, since they got their toe in the door, the foot in the door with this with the what do you call that damn thing, a child support thing. They take your license.
CPS?
No, they did child support. If you don't pay your child support, they put your DMV suspend your license. So how the fuck can you go to work to pay your child support if you can't drive to work if you use a car to drive to work? But they also doing that now illegally here in Santa Cruz. You start racking up dog tickets, dog shitting tickets, sitting in public tickets. Smoking on the mall or in the parks. You start racking up those things, they put in the collection, and then they send your shit to the DMV and they suspend your license, which is highly fucking illegal. The DMV is not supposed to suspend your license unless you got a DUI or moving infraction, like speeding or some shit like that.
Now, do you know anyone, Mike, whose license was actually suspended?
Oh, yeah.
You know Paris.
Everybody know Paris. Paris, you got he's a black gentleman in his 60s.
You yourself are African-American.
Yeah, well, I'm mixed. I'm a mutt. But he's got
dark-looking mutt.
He racked up a whole bunch of tickets, and then they increased the fines and multiplied them till he had to pay something like $1,600. They suspend his license. He can't even drive his damn truck. He lives way up in the mountains in Bonnie Dunes where there's no transportation. He's old, so he relies on his truck to get in the town to get food and stuff like that because he's way out in the boondocks in the sticks. And they take his damn license away because his dog let his dog... little stupid things like letting your dog run off the leash like in Lighthouse Field and all that shit. And, you know, and that's another thing, you know. They don't keep they're just so busy going around writing tickets and shit like that. And the park, they got even got the... So a lot of people don't know that the city workers are sworn to uphold the Constitution. They supposed to be almost like police. So they basically can go a little bit one up and shit, to necessarily give you a citizen arrest, but they can like a meter maids or something like that. They can give you tickets and stuff like that for smoking or whatever. They can do any damn thing they want. But they're so busy beating the bush for homeless people and fucking with people. For little stupid things as, you know, staying too long, sitting on a bench too long, more than 1 hour. You got to keep moving. Keep moving. That's all they want you to do, is shop till you drop on this stupid-ass mall. And if you ain't contributing to the putting money in their damn pocket, then you're a big part of their problem. And they want you to fucking get the fuck out of town or die and get out of the way.
Have you been ticketed yourself in the last week or two?
They know better to ticket me because they know I retaliate.
Would you like to clarify any of these questionable threats you may be making here, Mad Mike?
No, I mean, they normally don't fuck with me. And plus, I basically don't do too much. I jaywalk. I smoke on the mall. Fuck them. Goddamn cars smoke. Motherfucking buses smoke. Everything else smoke. You jump in your motherfucking car and drive, less than a mile or some shit like that to get a milk instead of walking and getting off your lard ass and riding your bike. You drive your car to just go get a goddamn milk.
I take that as a personal comment there, Mike.
You go get a fucking milk, and you done burned with the equivalent of how many packs of cigarettes? So they can go up and down the damn mall with these cars and gas burning, oil burning. I'd be so glad when the fucking oil runs out. And, you know, fuck cars. And fuck the police, too. Fuck the law. But you can't smoke a fucking cigarette, you know, because of these uptight fucking minority uptight Christian assholes. You know, I can see why the Romans fed the motherfuckers to the lions. You need to kill all the Christians. Fuck the Christians. That's a big part of the problem.
A man of outspoken views. You're listening to Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. Perhaps some Christians and or non-smokers or possibly city council members could call in to have a little dialogue with you, Mad Mike. The number here is 427-3772. Actually, any member of the public who wants to call in is welcome to call in. And the phone line is open, 427-3772. Let me turn now, though, Mike, to some of these interviews, and you can give me your thoughts on those. I'm sure you'll have some more. And perhaps we'll get some phone calls. Who knows?
Can I smoke a fatty?
No comment.
We're listening to the drumming of the evil Brent and the equally passionate Wireless. Hey, no dancing.
Boy, never.
All right, then. So I'm following our latest messiah as a woman on a skateboard with no legs.
And that's actually quite an interview coming up. But we do have a caller here. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Hi there. You're on Free Radio with Mike and Robert. Uh-oh. It's the living drum. Drum Circle Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, that's what I want to know. You tell me, man.
Mike, how's it going, man?
All right, Matt.
Hey, burn one, man, for me. Hey, look, man. Yeah, yesterday at the drum circle, we had one incident. A grave incident where someone was plucked. Like, it was a drive-by by the Santa Cruz police. Two officers, one in, I'm not sure what he was doing, but he had his taser gun with him, but they already had the cuffs on him in just moments, it seemed like. He was a white man, 5 foot tall, sunglasses, drinking a tea, and that was about it.
So what time did this,
About 3:30, plucked from the drum circle. He was sitting right next to me, he was playing a little finger tambourine. I had to take the tambourine away from him because this girl was just upset he had a tambourine.
And the two officers sort of showed up and just hauled him away?
Yeah. And he seemed like a pretty cool guy, but somebody sitting by was just like, nah, man, he's got to go. Like,
who were the police?
Somebody just said, that guy's got to go, man. But He was the one with Sergeant Harms, but now he's moved up to a newer slot now, and he's training a partner of his, yeah.
So. I mean, Officer Warren and a partner, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, the younger guy, sunglasses, shorter than Warren.
So I guess the claim was the guy had a warrant out. Was that the problem?
Now, yep, he had a warrant.
So
like, yep.
How was he treated? Was he treated a professional arrest?
Professional arrest. They didn't hassle anyone else. They just plucked him out of there like a vulture. One guy said they were looking at him from satellite. I'm not sure, but boy, they were on him, and they were out of there like, you know, business.
So they didn't interfere with the business of the drum circle except that they took somebody away.
That's correct. Right away. They didn't even want to hassle with anybody. Just, you know.
Now, what was the reaction of how big was the crowd at this point?
Oh, it was super big. You know, they hit us right at the moment of, you know, the best.
You're saying about 8:30 or 5:30? I missed that.
I said about 3:30.
About 3:30. Because, you know, I came by around that time. I guess I must have missed the excitement.
I think you were there, and then you had left or something, and then got plucked, yeah. Because you weren't around, because I was wondering, you know. I kind of looked around for you because the cops were there, but
you never
showed up.
How late did the drum circle go, Dave?
Till dusk.
And so there was no repetition of the previous week when you were told
to
shut down?
Like, we kind of know, hey, man, we got to go. It kind of got cold, you know. People were like, ooh, you know. So we all just broke it up. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And but thanks for coming by yesterday, Rob. Man, it was a great friggin' drum circle. Really had a good time. Everybody was there. Nobody got hurt, you know. I heard some guy's ears. Patrick's ears. I heard his ears.
You hurt Patrick's ears?
Yeah, I heard him.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, Patrick hopefully has recovered from his dog bite and is doing better.
Yes, yes.
He seems in a mellower mood. I'm glad that's happening. It's good to have everybody involved in drumming.
Still drumming, you know, so he's okay. And, you know, he's got a hair of the dog in him now, so he even drums better.
Indeed.
Okay, so, and you take it easy, Santa Cruz, and Rob, you take care of yourself, and Mike, take care, man. I'll see you down there, and Santa Cruz, wow.
Yeah, we're going to jam. Fuck the police, you know. We got a right to play music, you know, the hell with them.
Yeah, I'm surprised about this music on the mall at 2:30 in the morning from Bob. I got to talk to him about that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, David. I mean, Dave, have you heard anything more about any further showings? I know Bob Noxious was showing stuff on the, you know, the side of the Cinema 9 as a kind of he'd take the films during the day of stuff happening in the mall and he'd go show them at night. But I don't know if that's still happening, is it?
I don't know, man. I don't know his number. Bob wants to be, you know, kind of like a broadcast special, KLSD Santa Cruz, you know?
Yeah, well, all more power to him, and I guess I'll check him out when he checks me out.
Yeah, man, he's a total bootlegger, that guy, you know? He reminds me of Jimmy Page's, or Robert Plant's son, you know? But he got, you know, like, you know, abused like a refugee or something.
Hmm.
You know, something happened to him. No.
Don't know, but I know that, you know, I'm glad that the people are continuing what the Guerrilla Theater has been stopped from doing, the Guerrilla Drive-In, I should say, and so I'm glad that other people are carrying on. Thanks for calling in, Dave.
So that was the Guerrilla Theater playing on the back of the Del Mar?
No, that was the Guerrilla Theater playing on the back of the Soquel Bridge that was closed down,
about
three or four weeks ago.
Shot some stuff, right?
What's that? Say that again?
He was shooting pictures of people on the mall on the back of the theater.
Yeah, well, that was Bob Noxious, and he according to what his recount was, and I think he sounds accurate. He'd been doing it, shooting film during the day or video during the day, and then playing it in the evening before an audience who were kind of hanging out at the back of the New Leaf, and playing and looking at it on the back of the Del Mar. Now, I don't know if that has continued, because at one point there was a complaint made. I'm not sure why there was a complaint made, but I think it was mediated by Big Drum Brent, and I'm not quite sure what happened after that. So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, maybe we'll get more information, but thanks for calling in, Dave.
Thank you, and good night, Santa Cruz. Take it easy, man.
You too, Drum Circle, Dave. Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772. Here, let's get back to some of the street interviews. This is an interview with Eve, who is a legless woman who gets around town on a skateboard. I should say, by the way, that she is a woman of very colorful language, so if fuck-ish type words bother you, time to go turn the channel right now and keep the kitties in another room, for God's sake.
With a sign that says, buy me beer, and another one, like spare some spare change. We're going to chat next to this bench here, and I'm going to interview her. She was on a video that Skidmark Bob did of two panhandlers being ticketed by Officer Warren and another officer. So, we're talking with...
Jacqueline Eva Molen.
And Eva, are you an old timer from Santa Cruz?
No, I just got here 2 weeks ago. I'm from Texas.
And what do you think of our city?
Well, I was born in Cincinnati, grew up all over the country, mostly graduated high school and most of my schooling in different parts of Idaho. Then I moved to Eugene, Oregon to go to college where I graduated, and I've lived in Texas for the last 5 years before I came to Santa Cruz, and I'm only 24 years old.
You've been moving around.
I've seen everything. New Orleans, Atlanta, Chicago, West Coast, East Coast, North and South. I've seen it all. And you know what? Santa Cruz is living in a fucking police state. It makes me sick.
Tell me about that.
Well, I'm suing the police department, the city, the mayor, and Wells Fargo for discrimination, wrongful endangerment, and pain and suffering. And I got a case of paper long from the hospital. The tickets they gave me, about $3,000 in tickets so far. I'm trying to get a ticket for every bullshit law. So when I go into a judge, my tickets will tell their own story about prostitution, drug addicts. I've had to be a dealer. I've had to be a seller, a pimp, a prostitute. I've had to be everyone's nigger to fucking survive because they've been fucking me on discrimination, all of the men. And they're spying on me right now. Yesterday, I saw a cop when I was getting a cigarette ticket. They know what I'm doing because I don't hide that I'm fucking a neo-Nazi, a Satanist, and a defender of the people. And I told him, why are you always around when I'm doing bullshit crimes and when I'm doing the real crime? You never catch me. And Officer Warren, who everyone says is the biggest dick in town, is actually the best cop out here. He said, I'll try to catch you. Then I said, I love a challenge. Yesterday, a minivan pulled up, took a flash photography picture of me of about 50 feet away from me, and I gave them both the fingers because I knew they were watching me. They don't know my real name or where I fucking live. But y'all, you listeners, you know my real name because I'm not hiding anything.
And that real name is?
Jacqueline Faye Molen. I'm also known as the Human Tripod. I'm a famous freak show performer. I've been fighting the powers that be for 5 years as a freak show performer because I'm disabled. I only have one little leg and I'm 3'7", a ninja. That's a midget ninja. I eat fire, swallow swords, pierce my skin without bleeding. I perform miracles for people's entertainment, but it's not for their entertainment. It's just ritualistic.
Now, what do you make of Santa Cruz? You say police state. Any other impressions?
There is amazing people, especially amazing women out here, strong women. I was just in San Francisco and L.A., and there is not any women on the streets because to be on the streets, you have to be a warrior, and it's hard being a woman and a warrior because you're beat down your whole life. So the women out here are fucking sexy. Have you ever looked at the homeless people out here? They're the most good-looking people out here. Even the guys in wheelchairs, the girls in wheelchairs and crutches, the one-legged bitches, they're the sexiest mamas out here. Oh. And you know why? Because they're pure in soul. And women are about to take over. 2012 is about the Amazonian goddess taking over. Men have had their chance. And excuse my language to the listeners, but niggers and Jews have had their chance. But the neo-Nazis do not hate everyone just because they're their skin color. I hang out with black people and Jewish people and everyone to give them a chance because you keep your enemies close and your friends closer, in my opinion. And I know who's on what side. So when it's time to fight, these little tiny riots were bullshit. They're unorganized. I'm here to organize. I'm a union boss.
Now, were you behind all the window breaking downtown? Tell us the truth.
No, I wasn't, but I know who was, and they needed guidance, and now I'm here to guide them. And next time we do it, we're going to rob every building that we break the fucking windows up, and we're going to give all the money to the homeless. So we won't be asking me for your change anymore, so you won't have to say no and ignore us anymore and pretend like we don't exist.
Where in Texas were you hanging out before you came here?
Austin, Texas, the best place, the capital. And you know what my other favorite town is? Corpus Christi, right by the ocean. Corpus Christi means body of Christ. There's also a town in Texas named Hell. And they sell shirts that I went to hell and all I got was a shitty shirt.
Now, your shirt says, spare some change. Your nipples are circled.
Heart, anarchy sign, money,
right.
Music,
right.
The devil, Satan. I've got it all because people look at my tits and then why not charge them? That's why I joined the freak show in the circus. Because if you're going to stare at me, might as well give me a goddamn dollar. I got bills to pay, too.
And are people coughing up?
Oh, I'm one of the most famous freaks. If you go online on MySpace or Facebook and look up Jackie All Trades, you'll see me. If you go on YouTube and you look up Jackie All Trades 999 Eyes, H.A.'s right there! Beat the Serenios! On beneath the town! H.A.'s are coming to beat the Serenios. And if we know what's good for us, we'll let them win. Because if the H.A.'s and the 1488 and us take back the streets, then we'll have a fucking purified nation. Where guy told the cops, they're 18. I know all the cops here. I got my first ride in a cop car. They gave me a ride from Aptos for here for free, and I gave them an earful. They said, they love me. They love me. They're 18 officers short. You've read it in the papers. 18 officers short. What they're going to do is I told them to hire the white power because we're already patrolling the streets and we're good old boys with good old Christian values.
Now, what should I call you for short?
Call me Eva.
So, Eva, you say you've been ticketed.
Before we go any further, it looks like Mad Mike is... got his own thoughts about all this. What do you think, Mike?
Nothing ever good ever came out of Texas anyway. A number of steers and queers down there and village idiots. Oh, they're missing the village. Oh, the village idiots back in Texas now. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, George Bush.
I think we now have the Illinois idiot in the White House, to be very specific.
He's an Obama hater, but you're gonna
I hate Democratic Party hacks, whatever their skin tint. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, Obama's playing three-dimensional chess. You're not checkers like George Bush.
And he's killing lots of Afghanis as he goes, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he inherited this mess.
No, he could have withdrawn them a year ago. Sorry, that one doesn't roll.
Yeah,
sorry,
well,
sorry, no way, forget it.
Fuck Karzai, We need to get out of there. I have to agree.
Well, then stop praising a war criminal in power in the White House. Thank you very much.
Need to get the troops back home and put them on the border with Mexico and keep all the illegals out there and in this sanctuary city shit. I'm a lefty saying that, ultra lefty. I'm so left, too far to the left, I got kicked out of the Communist Party. And we need to protect our own borders and shit like that. Fuck the rest.
Protect them, what do you mean, from cheap labor? Or
no, who knows the fuck who's coming
from the
there.
Drug dealers?
Got some suitcase nukes and shit like that.
Oh, suitcase nukes.
Oh, whatever.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I'm going to stop you right here. See, somebody with the technology to do a suitcase nuke would be stalking across the Arizona desert? Come on, man. Let's get real here. Poor people are the people who come in through the borders.
Well, we can't.
Your brothers and sisters.
My brothers and sisters. Fuck them, too. Anyway, we can't take care of the whole world.
What kind of language is that?
We can't take care of the whole world. We can't...
Hold it. Guess who does all the work in the fucking cafes? It's those same people. People who are brown.
I bet there's a lot of Americans want to get those jobs.
Oh,
right
they're
now.
So
when
eager. I'll bet.
I know a whole bunch of Americans that would go pick medicine, do all kinds of shit.
Well,
who's
stopping them?
Because they're filled with the illegal aliens.
Filled with illegal aliens?
And they took over construction. We can go. We'll save this for another time.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's a neo-Nazi, neo-Nazis, and these fucking neo-Nazis, and they ain't the real Nazis. The real Nazis are using those motherfuckers as cannon fodder to divide and conquer us. And it's the same thing. I've been to prison. It's the same shit. The AWs, the Hells Angels, all that. They're not the real Nazis. You think if you was a Nazi and they're Nazis, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and all that, they cabal and all that, those
Obama,
are the real Nazis.
Biden,
the real
yeah,
Nazis.
Then, right.
And you think they're gonna let you stick your dick in their daughter or get married and you're gonna have that great. Your grandkids, they're gonna have your grandkids. You're fucking dreaming. They're just using this cannon fodder. So you neo-Nazis need to wake the fuck up.
I don't think the main force of what she had to say was about neo-Nazis. She really was talking talking about what Eva's comments. This is the legless woman who I just interviewed. We're going to hear more from her. Any other thoughts about what she said?
No, what I was saying is most homeless women are not the hottest women out there. They're missing teeth and all this shit. They reek of beer. They need to fucking take a bath. I'm homeless, houseless, like that. I take care of myself and stuff like that. I'm missing some teeth, but what the fuck? That's from years of being.
Is this a critique of poor homeless women because they're?
No, what I wanted to get with that was that most homeless people, the reason why a lot of people, and almost rightly so, are pissed off with the homeless because the homeless are fucking things up. They go and destroy people's bathrooms and shit like that. Go wash their whole ass and shit like that. Fuck the whole bathroom up. And then people like me, who are homeless, who do the same thing, go in the bathroom and maybe wash your face and hands or do a little bird bath. I have to clean up behind these slobs. And the camps, the same thing. The reason why the police Well, normally when they come down and find my camps, most of the time park rangers that give me a break is because you can't even find a cigarette butt on the ground in my camp.
So you're above all these other homeless people. They're a bunch of shit, and you're a high quality.
No, I'm America's finest tramp.
Yes, of course.
I used to be an Eagle Scout. I know how to live in harmony with the nature, and I pay my rent. I've been cleaning up homeless camps all over this whole town.
And I hear you. I know that there's been, I mean, we've heard regularly from people like Pat Kittle about the destruction of the environment by people who are camping, and I think that there's truth in that. However, I think that most of the damage that's being done to the environment happens, you know, like over the weekends of people who show up in mass at the boardwalk. I mean, I wonder if drunks, middle class and upper middle class drunks who come downtown and aren't the people trashing the bathrooms. I mean, I don't know who is, but it seems to me that these kinds of, you know, divisive kinds of descriptions of your fellow homeless people, however, you know, unwashed,
it is. That's the truth. You know, tell them up. You got to get some slants of criticism. You know, somebody needs some feedback. Like, if right now. And you know, they need to wake the fuck up and start thinking and acting in their best interest. You think they vote? Hell no. You think they give a fuck? Fuck no. They don't care.
There's nobody to vote for around here, Mike.
Look who we got, Cooney.
Right, and look who was running against him. Nobody.
Yeah, some. I heard this, the person who was running against
him.
Well,
what about you? Are you gonna run against these clowns,
perhaps?
Well,
for one thing, I'm a felon, and I'm on parole, probation, and this, that, and yada, 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 and I got a record longer than both of Jamie Lee Curtis' legs, so then... They'll dig up Adolf Hitler and put him in office before they put me in there.
Well, that's been done.
But
already,
I'm going to take over anyway. We're going to have a revolution. So I'm not worrying about getting in the office because pretty soon it's all going to be mine anyway.
I see. Well, thank you. And we'll await the outcome of that. You're tuned to Free Radio, listening to Mad Mike's rant on Bathrop Spears Broadsides, or Bathrop Spears Broadsides interruptions to Mad Mike's rant.
And the number 427-3772
is the call-in number in case you want to call in. This includes neo-Nazis, neoliberals, neoconservatives. We don't care who you are. Give a call if you'd like. 427-3772. And now we're going to hear more from Jacqueline Eva. I guess it's Moline.
In the last couple days?
Yes. Well, my name is Eva. That means daughter of Satan. I'm also the cousin and the wife of Hitler. I know that sounds bizarre.
My goodness. The woman thought you were a little young for that role.
I'm reincarnated.
Oh, I see. So what about the tickets? That's what I'm asking.
So the tickets. I have a college degree, an AA, in audio engineering and general studies from Lane Community College. I had a clean record for 10 years on the street and 5 years at Kearney. You all know that's good. Hard to be good.
Which Kearney were you with?
I was with all the best carnivals. I hired the best freaks, Coney Island Circus Sideshow, Las Vegas Circus. I've been on tour in 2007 with Ozfest. Ozzy's my buddy, Lamb of God, and Behemoth, 3 Inches of Blood, my favorite metal band, Doth, and one of my best buddies, Symmetra Hyman from Guar. I've got everyone behind me because they see I'm a good person. The cops, they don't. They think I'm 5150, but I am. But they're about to 187 for all you 1488s out there. Yeah, that's the green light. Stand up for your rights.
So, what ticket did you get last? However trivial.
The last fucking ticket I got was smoking. I tried to get them in my panhandling ticket, too, but they won't even give me the tickets because they know what I'm doing. They know who I am, and I could smoke a bowl and blow it in their face. They wouldn't stop. I'm more trouble than I'm worth. That's why people need to stand up. My favorite ticket I got was criminal trespassing in front of the library.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Here in Santa Cruz.
How long ago?
3 days ago. And you know why I was out there? My buddy was inside the library. He had 3 humbums watching his bike in his perfect trailer that he's been building his whole life, his only belongings. Sanitation department came, some Mexicans. They told him to not move and threw his bike and all of his belongings into the back of the truck. I dumpster dived his stuff. Later he said, "That's my stuff. Where'd you get it?" I said, "Out of the garbage. You could have it back." He said, "I want my bike." So we went and we dumped all the trash where he'd sold the bike. We got the sanitation, the police department out there with official charges, and there's official court case. And then my court case is going to be official. I got a lawyer I'm looking for. And if anyone hears this, I'm looking for a good lawyer. I got a cut and dry case, witnesses, paper trails, and I know my rights. That's why the cops...
The trespass arrest you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about all the tickets. I'm going to get as many tickets as I can for all these bullshit laws. And then I'm going to sue them for 3 times as much as they think that I owe them, because I'm on Social Security, and I'm a panhandler, and I already got 3,000 $1,000 of tickets. We know how it started. It's all on film. It's like Rodney King style. They rolled up to me when I was drinking in an alley. I'm 24 years old without an ID. They poured my beer out without even letting me say anything. Then when I got pissed and called them faggots, freedom of speech, I threw my cap down. I threw their pen down when they were trying to get me to sign their ticket. They said, that's littering. I said, go ahead, give me a littering ticket. I said, it's your job. They're like, it's my job. It's my job. Bullshit. It was their job to pour out my beer and tell me to leave. They didn't even have to do that. It wasn't their job. That was the first ticket I've ever gotten in Santa Cruz.
How long ago?
About a week ago.
You remember the names of the officers who did this?
Yes, I sure do. It's on my tickets. And when I go to the judge, all the officers are going to line up and kiss my fucking ass. And I don't want all the protesters out there with the sign, the camera crews, the newspapers, because it's bullshit. Honestly, this is nothing compared to what they've been doing. I shot my friends, beat my friends, and the biggest thing in Santa Cruz right now, I got a friend, PB&J. I know him from San Francisco. They got a boot on their van. She's pregnant.
Honey,
with her firstborn. Everyone knows who they are. They're good people. The cops fucking threatened them. I tried to round up enough money, spending to get it. Their thing gained away. And I said, you know what? You let them take it. We would have made a daisy chain, and they would have never fucking take it. Human chain is a daisy chain. But you let them take it, so when you go to the courthouse, go demand it back, because you're pregnant, they stole your home, and they want your money that you don't have. That is horrible. Pregnant lady out on the streets, so the cops say they're here to protect us. My flight is nothing compared to our brothers and sisters out here. We need to stop acting like niggers, so they stop treating us like niggers. And in Aptos, my friend Nigger Jew Boy, you may know him, he has a comic book, he's all online, he's
very
fighting
entering
for the city square in Aptos. And we all have to stand up and fight. Black, white, girls, boys, young, old, we all have to stop laying down and let it kick us. When the cops come, don't run. Call them faggots, flip them off, give them a piece of your mind, because it's not illegal to speak your mind. Freedom of speech, ACCTP.
You got an email address that people can contact you at?
People can contact me at jackiemolen.gmail.com.
Spell it for us.
JACKIE.MOLEN.com. And I want everyone to send their stories about their stories with the cops, their stories with the blacks, and their stories with the Jews. And also, give me your hate mail, because I'd love to fucking talk to you. Because I'm all about communication and getting things, people connected and against each other. Because the cops want to turn us against each other. That's what they do in the ghettos. They create crack, and then they make the blacks fight over it. We need to band together and stand up together. And I will be your leader, but I need an army to protect me, because they're already watching me. And it's going to be like Malcolm X, like Martin Luther King, like Stalin, like Obama. We are going to try to kill me. I need you guys to protect me, because I would die for you. You won't even know me, but you know I speak the truth. I would die for you even though I don't know you, and I would give you anything. If you ever need anything, drugs, alcohol, blankets, first aid, future told, come to me. You'll see me one-legged riding on a skateboard yelling in the streets.
You are a soothsayer.
I am a soothsayer. I'm Ram Hunas.
And we have been talking with
Jacqueline Faye Mullen, also known as Eva, daughter of Satan.
Do I get a hug?
Oh, you get a hug and a kiss, because I'm also Mary Magdalene and Mary the Virgin. Tell me when you're going to play that and I'll listen. I'll make everyone listen.
I'll give you my card.
All right, so you feel that you have some comments, Mike, about this this analysis by
Lunatic Fringe. I know you're out there. Yeah, she's really out there. Whacked. Anybody who's for Satan is a sick anyway. And I don't tolerate devil worshippers. There's only one God, and that's Allah, Yahweh, the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call him.
What about money? Isn't money our God here?
Money's actually the devil. Actually, money. You know, can you imagine living in a society? What's that? Buckner Master Fuller said.
I didn't mean to get off on a riff, actually.
To have, $6 billion.
Have you actually had any contact with Eva yourself? You ever talked to her?
No, I never ran. She's got one leg missing, right?
On a skateboard.
I met one who had two legs missing, who does devil worship and tarot cards, Wiccan. I treat them like they're radioactive. I don't hang.
Fair enough. Let's move on to our next interview. And if anybody wants to call in with thoughts on the issues, more important to me than any personal beliefs she has is the issue she raises. She sounds a bit like, you know, her concerns with the police or your concerns with the police.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullshit tickets,
police,
harassment of the homeless,
police,
you know, that
they
sort
fuck
of thing.
With people, they shit like that, but some people, you know, like I used to have a drug and alcohol problem. I'm 21 months clean and sober now, and I was a scumbag all around, general, over supreme, scumbag supreme, going around doing little stupid shit, you know.
But mainly it was because of alcohol. You know, alcohol and drugs clog your mind. And then nobody going to... Most people who are homeless, and there's going to be a lot of other people when they foreclosure and all that shit, and the mortgages, they're going to get living in their cars, get the cars repossessed, they're going to be in the street, they're going to be my neighbor. But what I'm trying to say is that that most people are homeless not by choice. Some people, like, they want to be a rebel, you know, fuck that, not pay rent, and be a goddamn anarchist or whatever like that, and anti-establishment and stuff like that. But most people, deep down inside, if somebody gave them a their own place where they can have a peaceful sleep, not to worry about somebody waking up in some troll bus and punks pouring gasoline on or beating them up or some shit like that. Or especially women. You know, women, I know some women who camp so far away out in the forest that they, or something like that, that something can easily happen to them. They could, like, no new one of them, just because they have fear of getting raped or something like that. That's just, then they have to deal with mountain lions and all this shit. But what I'm trying to say is, most people would like prefer not to be homeless or houseless or something like that. And we already spent over $1 trillion on these stupid-ass wars. We had enough fucking money. That was enough money to end homelessness as we know it in the whole planet, probably. At least in this country. They'd give every goddamn homeless person a condo they want.
Tell it to your buddy Obama, will you please?
Yeah, well,
thank you so much. Exactly. Well put. Back to the street interviews. I think we're taking May 23rd.
Talking with... well, Peter, the sax guy. And Peter, here we are in front of the restored windows of Dale Williams Jewelers.
I just put my foot on the planter doodah accidentally. Well, sort of not completely accidentally,
well,
but
the metal.
I didn't inventory every subtle nuance of the protocol.
I saw you with your foot leaning against on the metal, not the metal, the cement edge of the planter around this tree, which is an illegal behavior.
In my inattention, I was not constantly and persistently inventorying.
I don't want to hear your excuses, sexy man.
No, I just forgot.
You forgot. You know, you've been around this town for how many months now, and you forgot. You forgot. Now, let me ask you a more serious question. You're a street performer. Well, you play a saxophone, or so they say.
And I try to play in key with the other people who are...
You're working at it. You're a work in progress. Now, my question for you is, what was your analysis of the Street Performers Guild, and what have you heard about the new Street Performers Council?
I would have to say that the meeting, as I articulated at the meeting, seemed to be fairly dysfunctional, and I sort of wondered whether the people in the room could actually accomplish anything, and that really worried me, because I feel like they need to come together and actually take care of real legitimate concerns on the avenue. So I wish them well, but I wonder whether I should invest any of my own energy, because it really looked to me like there were people working hard to make it something other than constructive. And I would like it to be a constructive thing where the city ends up feeling good about our existence, and we also address the issues we have with the city's policies and the way they implement them.
You had many suggestions, as I remember. You attempted to press things in a positive direction.
Well, I think the most important one was for individuals who show up at the next meeting, which might be in a week or so, to come with well-worded items that they feel need to be on the list that the Street Performers Guild might want to address, so we can make a list, and then as a group we'll sort through the list to figure out which things are near the top.
That was passed by the Street Performers. That was agreed to. In fact, I saw that in the notes that Tom Noddy put out later about the meeting. Your resolution passed and has been a part of the program.
So people know that if they have additional thoughts about issues that need to get addressed, they should bring them to the meeting. No promises that their particular issue is going to find itself at the top of the list, but at least they can contribute to the list, so the list is thoughtful and has, and you know, thoughtfully worded, not ranting, but things that need to legitimately get taken care of so that the city can function better as a place for vibrant art.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
And we're listening to Al on the piano here on the street, one of the smaller pianos downtown. And we have
man here in front of the Marini's ice cream making a quick phone call. The fellow leading around some poor children. Hey, Donna.
And let's interrupt this rather difficult to hear piano from the street. Did you have a thought, Mike, you wanted to say something about?
Yeah, one thing I want to say is fuck art. Anyway, and when they use art, when they use art, like I was back to those fucking penguins. When they're using art. Next time anybody see, anybody listen to me, you see those fucking penguins down there, spit on them, piss on them, shit on them if you want to.
Now we're talking about the penguin statues near the between the Catalyst and I guess the Metro, right?
Yeah, they use them to oppress people, and you know, and that's fucked up to use art as a weapon. And the city's supposed to be having a deficit, so they're gonna raise the goddamn bus rates. They're gonna give the bus drivers who cost me a job when I had a job in Salinas. I lost a $500 painting job in Salinas. I had just started because they decided they were gonna go on strike for a while, so I couldn't get to Salinas. And it deprived a lot of people lost jobs because of their. I heard they had one of the highest bus drive $28 an hour. Goddamn. But anyway. I'm diverse. I'm going. I'm going off the subject. But those fucking penguins are used. Anytime they use, it costs money to put those things there. I don't know if the city bought them. I guess they're using the guys that they're selling them.
Let me interrupt you, Mike, because most people. Again, you're going to be hearing more than enough of this, but because we're going to actually hear the protests that you and Becky and I and others were involved in. The penguin statues are essentially. A way, at least they have the collateral effect of denying people the right to sit within a 14-foot radius of the statue and also to have a political table within a 10-foot radius, to play music with a display device within a 10-foot radius, or to peacefully hold up a sign seeking spare change within a 14-foot radius. So it creates this entire new constellation of forbidden zones downtown, which will also be created and added to with the so-called anti-panhandling meters, which are due to go in, I presume, fairly soon.
And they got it so that if you drew a map of the whole damn mall and you overlap their radius, I mean, if you put every last one of these change machines and all this obstruction of free speech that they're using as a fucking justifiable cause to get you a ticket so they can get in your pocket and get money from you and all this shit and oppress you, They got them strategically situated on the mall, so each one overlaps and covers up. So basically, you can go in the whole zone where there's nowhere, goddamn, where you can sit or stand or whatever the panel, because each penguin, each piece of art, the change machines that don't work, and all kinds of other things they use, which you're not supposed to panel. Overlaps and cover each other, so basically they can get you anywhere.
Well, actually, I disagree. I think that they definitely do expand the forbidden zones, and there's very little place to sit or spare change or play music for donation or set up a political table. But I think they regard that no homeless zone, so to speak, as an additional benefit. I don't think they're actually strategically placed, because if that were the case, they could be placed better if that were the case.
They've been put more and more and more. Same thing with these stupid-ass parking signs. They just magically spring up like mushrooms all over town, so you can't park between a certain hours and shit like that.
Permit parking, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it in places like... You don't want people like down who live down the boardwalk with all the tourists taking up the parking space. They can't have any guests over. I can understand permit parking. I understand that for residents, shit like this. But this is places where all over town that plenty, but people have driveways and garages and shit that they can easily park their car. So this parking is not a problem. They're just putting these fucking signs up to keep people from sleeping in their cars so they have a justifiable.
And actually, more than that, if you look at the signs, it says you can't be there between midnight and 6 every, or sometimes it's 1 and 6, but it kind of varies. But during those deep night hours, it's illegal to be in a vehicle without a permit, leave your vehicle alone. Park there without a permit, without a permit for parking. And I know that, for example, up and down Laurel Street, if you're around midnight, you won't find any vehicles parked on the street, either with or without permits, or very few. I was there the other night walking around, and it is true that the side streets where there's, you know, do seem to be filled with vehicles, and I presume that they have permits or they would be getting tickets around midnight, but it seems to me to be specifically, and it was explicitly said when these laws were passed, that this has to do with dealing with the camping problem, as they describe
it. Yeah, exactly. This would be Delaware, way down there past Swift over there, around the Homeless Garden Project, used to be a place of refuge. Those little side streets, industrial areas, shit like that, where they would kind of turn a blind eye before they even put up because basically out of sight, out of mind. They want, basically, I guess that's why they, you know, this is a tourist town. They don't want homeless people sleeping just anywhere, like whatever, you know, and doing things. But so they made it a city-wide thing, but they used to have it. That was now that place you can't sleep there and nothing like that. I know a few. I'm not going to say the places. There's a few places still left where you can move. You can be in one place during the daytime, like all down Swift, past Swift on Delaware, and hang out there all goddamn day and get as much sleep you want. Then at night, when that becomes illegal, you can move to some, like, let's say McPherson. One of the few places, McPherson runs parallel to Mission, where you can stay there all night.
Well, ironically, you can always park at a meter and sleep there at night, because all the metered areas don't have the no camping at no parking at night signs. So downtown, ironically, this would force people, ironically, to park their vehicles in the downtown area.
But wouldn't the parking meters be in effect where you have to keep plucking quarters?
If after 8 o'clock at night, no.
No? All right.
Yeah, so it's after 8 o'clock. So, but I mean, although I don't see a lot of people doing that. And also, there's already a sleeping ban in vehicles after 11 o'clock at night, no matter where you are in the city, even on private property, with the exception of the 3 nights per month in a driveway exception, which is kind of ludicrous. And the fact of the matter is so that they don't really need an additional law, except they're saying to homeless people, not only can't you sleep in your vehicles, but you can't even park your vehicle and then go hide in the woods. Because if you park your vehicle in any of these zones, we'll have it ticketed and eventually booted and towed away.
And booted, towed away. And then if you don't pay that little silly... they've taken a few of my vehicles. That's why I don't even bother getting a vehicle anymore. I got a DUI in 1991, but since then I had like four vans and shit like that. And they eventually catch me driving without a license or something like that. And they take them away. Not only they take your property and stuff like that, like North County Touring was notorious for that. What do they call that? The dude that played the saw fiddle. What's his name?
Tom Scribner?
Scribner, yeah. The Scribner family, they were ripping people off and shit like that. They got some of my vehicles ripping shit like that off. They had a contract with North County, the city. They was making money. The city was making money. Not only did they take your fucking vehicle and shit like that, and you get, but you get a ticketed, and you have to pay for the tour. You don't pay for it. Now, once again, you don't pay for it. Start racking up all this money. They put it in collections into the DMV. Make sure you know your damn driver's license suspended till you pay the shit. And that's highly illegal.
Back to the street interviews. Again, your comments are solicited, 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, with Mad Mike and Robert. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, they used to have some churches where, basically, the churches, like Circle Church, used to be at the park overnight, but the city came down on them to once again, to boot people. You know, people have a fundamental right to sleep. When you don't take it from me, you're talking about PTSD and mental health shit. You don't get enough sleep. Then I'm like anybody who's living in a house right now to try this. If you never tried this before, try to stay up a few fucking nights and try to function. Go to work, or get very little sleep. Try to survive or subsist on 3 or 4 hours of sleep a day for weeks and months. And pretty soon you're gonna be shell shocked. Sleep is like water and air. It's a fucking right, not a goddamn privilege, you Nazi fucking punks. So keep fucking around, you know. And you know what I'm trying to say is that people getting tired of it. that little bullshit fucking window smashing shit ain't a riot. I know some real riots, and that ain't even on a scale of 1 to 1,000. That don't even rate us a -10 on a riot scale. What could happen in this fucking town where people get really pissed off and had enough of your motherfucking bullshit? Nazi apes, punk. Fuck the police!
Now, speaking of riots, down in Southern California, Johannes Merzeli, who executed Oscar Grant III in a BART station about a year and a half ago, is in the second or third day of a murder trial, where his case was moved to an area where there is a jury with not nary an African-American on it. And although there are some Hispanics in there, I think there are a couple of Asian Americans on the Merzeli jury. Here's a report I'm going to read to you from the Huffington Post about the first from the courthouse. And it's called Merzeli Trial Day 1 by King Amy Howell and Youth Radio editorial staff. I'm sitting in the courtroom where Johannes Merzely, the former BART police officer facing a murder charge for the shooting death of 22-year-old Oscar Grant III, is wearing a gray suit, brown shoes, and yellow tie. He sits devoid of emotion. Before the prosecution delivered opening statements, Merzely looked intently at the evidence box, and that was the only reaction I noticed. For the most part, he was just staring forward. Before the opening statements began, Judge Perry dismissed one of the jurors for cause and replaced her with an alternate. No reason was given by the judge. The prosecution took over most of the morning. Prosecutor Dave Stein laid out his plan for retelling the story of what happened the night Grant was killed. He went through all the various video that was taken, described the environment of the Fruitvale platform, that's up in the Oakland area, from the moment the first two officers arrived on the scene to a few seconds after the shot was fired. They played the video multiple times. It's much clearer than the news video footage that had been circulating. You see the shot, and you see the defendant and Tony Perrone, who's Johannes Merzely's fellow officer, moving the body. In the video, we can see that Merzely had his taser out on a couple of occasions. From the video shown, it is difficult for me to imagine that Merzely wasn't aware that he was holding the .40-caliber pistol he was carrying and not the taser before he pulled the trigger. This is a point that was made virtually a month after the shooting when I read you an article that showed it is incredibly different to pull a taser. It feels different. It looks different. It has a different firing mechanism. And a different grip. And it's just, it's unlikely. In fact, it wasn't originally used in Merzely's excuse as to why he shot and killed Oscar Grant III. His original claim was that the guy was pulling a gun. He refused to give a full account of his actions to the BART police. Instead, he resigned, fled the jurisdiction, and then he came back and he was held on a million-dollar bail, which was then raised by the POA, the Local Police Officers Association, and other groups of that kind, I believe, although maybe they didn't raise it, but they're now supporting his case. Any thoughts on this?
That's kind of like the same thing with Rodney King shit, you know, in Simi Valley, you know, send a damn thing down there with a bunch of white police retirement community. Okay, they quit them. Nobody was surprised. I knew they was going to quit them with Rodney King shit like that. And then people, how many 50-something people died in the riot, subsequent riots after that over something, you know, and basically people suffered from overdose of righteous indignation and want some fucking justice instead of this bullshit, you know, that these motherfucking punks, these goddamn armed gangs with a badge and a fucking gun that runs, they're worse than the goddamn Notenio Sereno ever possibly be. They're fucking terrorists. They're the real terrorists, like that, you know. I ain't gonna just mention them. Israelis, our military, you know, the global police. But anyway, these motherfuckers, they think the same shit's gonna happen again. This time, Rodney King only got his ass whipped. This man was executed. I saw I heard the whole story like that, and I'm pissed off about it. And there's a few times where I had the police draw their guns on me, and I thought I was gonna get smoked quite a few times by the police.
Does that happen in Santa Cruz?
Oh, in Santa Cruz too. I was fighting. They thought it was a riot. I was fighting 15 punks, troll busting punks, East Side of little punks, right over there by Spruce and the mall. About 15 of them.
How long ago was this?
This was like a few years ago. They threw, you know, Sugar. They threw a burrito at Sugar and hit Sugar in the face with a burrito because she spare changed them. Because they troll buses. And I jumped up and said, hey, what the fuck's going on? And these punks turned on me and pulling knives and stuff like that. And the police showed up. They see me, the nigga. I'm face down on the ground. They pulled a gun on me and all these punks. I'm going, hey, do the math, man. I'm basically the victim here. It's 15 to 1. And that's not an exaggeration. It was actually 15 of these punks.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them scattered and checked that. But they almost shot me behind by the Raunchy Tampax in Tampico. They almost shot me in the alley over there. I was holding a twig in my hand. They said that was a weapon, a twig. Come on. They're going to smoke me over a fucking twig. And the police came to the courthouse and told the judge that had I not dropped the twig, he was going to blow me away. He was going to shoot me. I said, Yanni, he was going to shoot me over
a
twig.
You know what Smokey the Bear says?
It was a fucking twig. Though.
Smokey the Bear says, even a twig can be a deadly weapon.
Yeah, really.
No, that was a match.
Jet Li or somebody.
Let me finish the story of Johannes Merzely here. Again, this is the first day of his trial. So, The holster and weapons look too different for the taser and the gun for it to be a simple mistake to my eyes. The defense just began opening statements before the recess. Marzulli's lawyer, Michael Raines, detailed events up until the final 5 seconds before the shot was fired. Right before the recess, he said, "Something happened in those 5 seconds, and I want to talk about it after the break." The defense basically threw Perrone and Bart under the bus, saying Perrone, that's the Marzulli's fellow officer, was an aggressive officer that served as a mentor to Marzulli. Raines also went after Perrone for not being aggressive, for being aggressive before Marzulli showed up on the scene that night. He skewered Bart for not giving sufficient training on the use of tasers. Afternoon session. Defense attorney Michael Raines completed his opening arguments after the break. Raines argues that Grant's resistance to arrest at 2:11:05, as I guess 2 a.m. in the morning, on the 1st of January of last year, prompted Marzulli to reach for and fire what he thought was his taser. It was not established in the opening arguments when Grant was informed that he was under arrest. Nikki Long, the Alameda County DA's audio-video expert, and the eyewitness videographers Margarita Carrazzo and Karina Vargas took the stand today in the prosecution's case. And then there's an interview from Vargas back in May of 2009. For those who want to check this out, it's the Huffington Post. Much of the discussion online has focused so far on the descriptions of the video being played for the jury. For a case that has had so much footage already in the public eye, the prosecution seems to have managed to hold back images that may prove to be key to their case. Among the most retweeted arguments were the introduction of a photo taken by Oscar Grant, a former officer Marzulli, holding his taser shortly before Grant was shot, and the defense's assertions that the tragedy of the shooting resolved around Marzulli's poor training by Bart police and the influence of fellow officer Tony Perrone. It's a little
in a pig's eye. I mean, goddamn, I can see that defense where, you know, somebody fucking you missed the pussy and it's stuck in somebody's booty hole, but you can't fucking miss anybody who has just the basic stupid ass training of weapons, which they should have, working for any police or law enforcement or even fucking security guards, that do some type of pistol weapon training. He did not mistake that is lame as shit. He did not mistake it. It's a total different grip, and the police are chuckling on that because they know that they. I think even in the dark and underwater, in the dark, in any condition, he could tell by feel that this is not a goddamn taser, it's a gun. It's a total different grip. But besides that, what I'm trying to say, when they acquit him, and they're going to acquit him, same shit's going to happen again, especially if they got an all-white jury there. When they acquit him, or just find him under manslaughter, so what manslaughter would be justified, I guess. Something, give him something, you know, But I think, basically, I don't think he had really murder in his heart. Who knows?
Well, he's being charged with first-degree murder. I don't think there's no option to do a manslaughter or...
It was an execution. It was an execution.
You know, or second-degree murder.
Yeah, or something like that. But when they do it, when the police kill you, it's like, oops, sorry. But when you kill one of them, it's the death penalty. It's a capital crime.
It should also be said that one of the reasons this case got any attention at all is because people did get very angry and take to the streets on the issue up in Oakland.
Had it been not for the invention of cell phones and video cameras and stuff like that, people would have never taped it. Put on YouTube.
Not just because they taped it. The fact that Marzulli wasn't even fired for some time after this shooting. It wasn't until the community rose up in anger that there was, any consideration of prosecuting him. Police officers don't get prosecuted for murder, except very, very rarely, if ever. In fact, California, I think this is the first case in decades where this has actually happened. And there have been plenty of police killings, some would say police murders. One in Santa Cruz, the killing of Happy John Dine, which you're familiar with from 1997.
That was my dog. Happy Hippie.
He was...
Gunned down by a punk with a badge and a gun.
Officer Connor Carey shot him.
Killer Connor.
And I guess
Carey,
he was Connor Carey was his name.
Who used to go on his vacations to South Africa as a mercenary?
That was the African American officer Perry of all people.
He was going to Iraq.
That's
Perry,
correct.
Perry
that's
was
correct.
Going to Iraq.
No,
there
that's
was
correct.
One of them who
it was. It was. It was. It was Bailiff Thurber. who would did that?
On their vacation, Deputy Thurber. South yeah. Africa, being yeah. a mercenary in Rhodesia and all that bullshit.
At least that was the rumor. I've never. That's the rumor. I haven't got any verification that that's true, but that's what I'd heard. So let's leave aside this and let's get back to the street interviews again. Your phone calls are welcome.
I just want to say something.
427-3772. Yeah.
I just want to say something because I'm about to probably have to go pretty soon. Anybody can call me at 212-5615 or P.O. Box 7895 or madmikethewonderdog@yahoo.com because we're going to start doing something like a boycott of this fucking mall. Mall merchants who are fucking for this to continue with no end in sight, oppression of the poor. That's not necessarily the poor anymore, because damn near everybody could be qualified as a poor these days within this fucking stupid ass economy. You know, you might be upper middle class, but you got bills to pay, you know, shit like that. You don't need this added fucking mindless bullshit.
Give us the number again, Mad Mike, the rhetoric we've heard for the last hour and a half. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. All right. Mad Mike the Wonder Dog at yahoo.com. Call me 24 hours a day. I don't give a fuck. I leave my phone on all the time. 212-5615. P.O. Box 7895, Santa Cruz, California. Yeah, if you want to do snowmail, 95061. And let's fucking get some like mind together, get some ideas going on there, and really take back fucking Santa Cruz from these Nazi punk motherfucking. They want to make it San Jose by the Sea, shop to drop. You know.
Hey, hold it. That's enough, Mike. And I want to remind you that we do have a Huff meeting next Wednesday. I guess it's at 5 o'clock at the Drum Circle. So that's the new meeting of Fine for Homeless.
I just wanted to say, there's United some restaurants for Friendship and Freedom where a dog can go to, but I can't. And not because I'm just black, because I'm homeless. I couldn't go in there. They would say, sir, you have to leave. They refused to service me, but a fucking dog can go to the goddamn
when
restaurant.
Was that? When did they refuse
they
to serve
you? They do that. They do that all the time with homeless people.
The last time that happened to you was...
I talked to some people who've been
okay, it happened to somebody else.
They've verified it.
It never happened to me because
I didn't want to...
I got you. I'm not saying it isn't true. I'm just wanted to get some specifics. Thanks, Mike. Back to street interviews. And thanks for being on the air,
what
by
time
the way.
Is it?
It's time to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, time to pull out.
Yes, indeed. You can tell your friend Obama to do that, okay? I know, it's just a big mistake. He inherited the war. Yeah. Thank you. Moving along.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, are you recording?
I am.
Oh, all right, then.
You want to talk off the record?
No, that's okay. Yeah, off the record.
Okay. Well, what's up, guys?
We love Gutter. We were playing at the corner in front of New Leaf,
yeah.
And Winston,
Officer Winston,
came up and told us he had a call.
Right.
And we had lots of people, kids dancing, money in the thing. And I was like, actually, you know, we just heard that Ryan Coonerty said that he doesn't believe that the noise ordinance, they're not, and the move along law, they're not mutually exclusive. I don't know if I said that right, but like. They can get us for an unreasonably disturbing noise after the 1 hour of play. Anyway, he said he received a call, and I said, well, we'll take the ticket. Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Oh, great. Awesome. We'll take the ticket.
Now, is this a ticket by the officer or by a private citizen?
Oh, he went upstairs to the top of...
The Borders building where the...
Up top. So I said, we'll take the ticket, and he goes, okay. So he,
Melody Zosnick, or whatever her name is.
I don't know who it was.
A woman who traditionally is upset at performers at that location.
Yeah. All right. So he went up to get the ticket, and he thought we would continue playing, but instead of us resuming playing, we're actually running down the street to play at another place.
Oh-ho.
Yeah,
Escaping from the law, eh?
Well, we never did resume playing music.
I see.
Yeah.
So, you're trying to frustrate Officer Winston. This is not very nice of you.
I refuse to admit that.
All right, I would hope you wouldn't, actually. So, actually, remember, the proper thing, I think, to do under these circumstances is to say, is it okay if we play a little more quietly? Do you have any problem with that? And then if he doesn't agree with that, then you're in a position where it's not he's not giving you a level for unreasonably disturbing noise. And you say, is this quiet enough? And you play a little softer. Is this quiet enough? You play a little bit softer than that. And if he refuses to tell you, then if you ever do go to court on these tickets, you at least have evidence that you are trying to obey and follow the law. Of course, he will claim it. Ah, but before that happened, there was unreasonably disturbing noise, according to a citizen.
right.
But
he might have
still.
To go up and check with her to find out if it's tolerable
if
to her.
He wants to still do a citation, right?
Right. Yeah. So we're going to go down and play down the street now.
All right. Well, onward with your infamous law breaking. Good luck, guys.
All right.
And Brent Adams and his band Love Gutter, he plays on a 50-gallon drum. You can find a lot of discussion about the issues of playing that drum on Pacific Avenue online at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And I actually reference it in the latest story I wrote online, which is about the drum circle's adventures, which has been relatively mellow in the last few weeks. And also, they haven't been driven away from the Soquel Avenue Bridge, as you heard in the update from Drum Circle Dave earlier tonight. But there has been a crackdown on the mall of other homeless people. And also, Brent did receive a ticket from Officer Winston, I think about a week following this. So this is May 22nd or 23rd we're listening to. And I guess on May 29th, the Saturday that followed, he did get a citation from, it sounds like it may have been the same woman, the top of Borders from the office of Penrose and Attic, the law firm up there. At least that was what Brent later reported. And I played some of his account on the air, and he talked about it in a phone interview. And that whole issue will probably be coming up tomorrow at the Street Performers Guild meeting at 5 o'clock at Loudoun Nelson Center, to which you're invited if you're interested in that issue. You want to be supportive. Again, this is not so much for an academic discussion, I would think, at least from my perspective, but to see something actually gets done to support street performers and to end the highly discriminatory heckler's veto, which is being essentially facilitated by the police department downtown. It's clearly ridiculous if a police officer doesn't regard music as unreasonably disturbing noise, but then a member of the public privately can say it's a crime. I suppose the argument can be, well, if a police officer doesn't have to stay in the same place and hear it for an hour, that's true. But it seems to me the level of the noise, and whether it's physically disturbing or annoying and not necessary in connection with a legally conducted activity, is the key issue. Because that's what the law says. It doesn't say you can't play after a certain time if somebody objects. It can't say a person's objections are relevant at all. All it says is if something is unreasonably loud, that causes physical discomfort, physical annoyance, doesn't mean they don't like your choice of the way you sing, but physical, it hurts your ears, then, and also it's not necessary in connection with a legally conducted activity, which much singing is First Amendment protected and is legally conducted, and since it may be necessary to sing at a certain volume in order to be a street performer, which is a legally conducted activity, why are the police even taking these tickets is the issue. And one defense I've suggested, as you hear on the tape, is to ask the police officer, well, is this too loud? Is this okay? And when the police officer refuses to give you a standard, it seems clear that the law itself is unconstitutionally vague. Or maybe put a different way, it's only can be called into play if something is so loud as to physically annoy the sensitivities of a reasonable person, physically disturb or physically annoy because it's so long, so loud, so pronounced. Actually, there's a series of adjectives that are used. Actually, let me be specific about it so I don't mislead any of the public. It has to be specifically. So harsh, so prolonged, unnatural, or unusual in their use, time, or place as to cause physical discomfort to any person, which I guess sweeps a little broader than physically annoying to persons of ordinary sensitiveness. But again, it has to be not necessary in connection with a legally conducted activity. And that seems to me to be the constitutional basis on which to effectively challenge this law, if we have any constitution left, which, of course, is an open question. But check it out tomorrow, Street Performers Meeting, 5 o'clock, Loudoun Nelson Center, Room 7. Let's hear some more.
I also had a conversation. Well, it is now a day later on Monday, May 24th. I'm here in the New Leaf Santa Cruz parking lot, where there's a collection of ne'er-do-wells gathering, including the infamous Peter Peckinpah. Peter, any comments for us? I know you recently retrieved a vehicle and had some interesting comments about that, but I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Well, technically, I've gotten parking tickets. I've been sleeping in this wonderful city of Santa Cruz and, you know, being very indiscreet in finding places to park. And because my van doesn't look like a traveling van, I guess, I haven't been approached.
I should say that here we are in a parking lot where Bob Noxious, who does a fairly regular nightly...
rather talk about the fact that you can't smoke in Santa Cruz parking lots, apparently. The cops have come up
in
to...
In private parking lots?
In public parking lots. In the Santa Cruz parking areas, you cannot smoke.
Where's
there.
My hug?
Robert, where's my hug, Norris?
He can be cruel.
You know what? Being really handsome and good-looking is way overrated.
I understand. But nonetheless,
way overrated,
bro.
I mean, let's think about it. If I just go and rub one out, I'm over it.
This is Bob Noxious with his guitar and his associate, who's actually doing a regular gig every night. I don't know. Has the Del Mar been calling the cops on you for despoiling their wall with visual imagery?
No. Something weird happened. We still can't figure it out. Apparently, a lady said allegedly somebody came over and harassed her, and she went crying and running in there, and the manager reacted and came out and said she was calling the cops. That was her response when Brent, one of our street performer council members, went in and questioned her what was going on. Well, that was her response. Once she makes that response, that's her position. You can't get past that. So
she was crying because, again, I'm not quite sure.
We went and talked to her, actually, and she said...
Well, who are you?
I was there.
No, who are you? What's your name?
Peter Peckinpah.
You're Peter Peckinpah?
He is Peter Peckinpah. Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. Yes, I was talking to the establishment, and we came to an agreement that the management would come out the next time you do it and discuss to you the options of what they would like, whether or not they want you back there. So it's still up in the air.
So this is when Brent last talked to them on the last area of bilocation there?
Yes. I guess I assumed you knew that, sir. I'm sorry, I did not.
No. I just want to clarify that for our listeners out in Radioland.
And Radioland. Yeah. So this, for those who are interested, though, this, you may or may not be doing a regular showing at the front of the Del Mar, back of the Del Mar, every night of actually videos that you have made during the previous day.
Actually, that's incorrect, Robert. We had a long talk with, I don't want to mention the officer's name today, but he explicitly and plainly and clearly said to me that, look, there's a number of things we can get you on over there, okay? There's a current no trespassing thing in New Leaf. There's a bunch of stuff. He goes, but, we think it's good. We're for it. We think it's cool, as long as everyone's mellow and kicks back and doesn't harass the people coming out of the theater. So it's our job, actually, to police kind of the outside of the theater and make sure nobody goes anywhere off the private property of New Leaf here and onto the public property where the theater stands. So basically, we pretty much got the green light, and we're going to go ahead and start shooting again tonight. I think it's going to turn into a really big movement. Matter of fact, it'll probably turn into a town and then a state and then actually a country, and we will be the forefathers. This is Bob Noxious. Thank you.
The four mothers. Mr. Sexist Pig Man.
Look, I said it was sorry. I mean, wait. Look, I said it was sorry. Wait. Right. Look.
I think we caught your drift.
Better the first time.
Patriarch. Any comments on this questionable individual?
We should tell the Gorilla Drive-In that they can come and show their movies on the New Leaf or the Del Mar Wall, because they just got shut down twice.
Why would you want to take someone else's company and move them into mine?
I was entering it as a statement of what the fuck. Pardon me.
Yes.
Well, it is.
We have a certain
pirate radio
debate brewing here, it sounds like.
Freaking pirate radio.
It is.
While my adversary clearly curses while he's talking to you people, I will take the responsibility and make sure that I don't use any curse words. God forbid your children are listening.
Well,
bottom line is that we are the gods of hellfire, and we will show movies every single night, and we will dominate the world, and everyone will love us, and we will do service and help everybody, and it will make the place a much better place to live in.
That is Uncle Bob with guitar and a questionable machine that creates movies.
And now I've got this this song that I wrote specifically for this this and the people that want to oppose our wonderful free movie movement for the street kids. It goes like this.
You are all fucked.
and overrated. I think I'm going to be sick. And it's your fault. This is the end of everything. You are the end of everything. I haven't slept since I woke up and found my whole life was a lie, motherfucker. We are the end of everything. We are the end of everything.
Call him self-indulgent. Call him pretentious. Call him precedent-breaking. That's our own Bob Noxious. Thank you, Bob.
I hate something anymore. I don't want to feel anymore. The more I touch, the less I feel. Reminds myself that it's not real. Why does everybody make such a big fucking deal? I guess I don't care anymore. Oh! Oh! You are all fucked and overrated. I think I'm going to be sick, and it's your fault. This is the end of everything. We are the end of everything. I've slept since I woke up and found my whole life was a lie, motherfucker. This is the end of everything. We are the end of everything. You're fucking overrated. I think I'm going to be sick.
This is where we came in. Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Peter. So here we are downtown in front of New Leaf, the savory, or is it unsavory, collection of questionable individuals. Hey, hey, Barack.
How you doing?
Good.
Yourself? Up to San Jose today.
Say again?
How do you go up to San Jose today?
Any reports from the street that you wish to pass on? We have nothing to say at this time. Thank you.
Give me opportunity to put my...
I'll see you later.
All right, we'll get you later. We have a snake handler here downtown who's handling a local snake. What's the name of this python or creature?
Yes.
Bubbles.
Hi.
Bubbles, and who's... Bubbles is a...
Bubbles yesterday.
Looks like he's all of at least 5 feet long. How long is Bubbles?
He's a pretty big gopher snake.
It's a gopher snake, not a python. I was wrong again.
Got him on his levy.
Really? Cutie. My goodness.
You want to hold him?
I love him.
He's a local snake.
No. He only likes
toys. He's pretty snaky.
Just keep it that way. We don't want to take a risk.
Well, there you have it. I wish you could see this snake, folks, but unfortunately, this is radio. So we have a hungry curb hugger, Chris, who's just arrived from his perch up the coast, about 20 to 6 here on Pacific Avenue. Kind of a clouding over Monday. Chris, so what do you make of the scene where you've just arrived? Any initial impressions?
Seems all quiet to me. Why should I have an impression?
I don't know. No, not particularly. I'm just filling in the blanks and blanking out on the...
It seems quiet to me. I mean, I don't know. I heard there was a shooting again, but I don't know. I haven't got no news since...
You have your need food, your peace sign, your please help, your thank you, and it looks like at least $1.22 in your cap.
So far, that's it, yep.
And you're...
I'm very hungry.
Very hungry. You have your sign, Will... Your button will work for food donated by a very reputable individual.
I know, but the funny part wore off.
But you folks make me want to take drugs or something.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Right. Well, all right. Well, I will.
I don't know. It's kind of slow. I know that there's a bus driver whose name I cannot name because he might. Who knows? His job might be in trouble. Who's a diehard fan and listens to every single minute of your shows.
Wow.
And I talk. He's my bus driver from the mountain where I live.
Some people are just
fascinating. I get to discuss with him every time I ride in the afternoon or ride out, whatever. He's the afternoon bus driver. I'm just getting to discuss with him all the topics you talk about on the show.
You are a regular personality on the show.
I think he listens to it a little bit because of me, but he also is a big fan of yours too, as well. So it's just kind of interesting. I mean, and he's a, you know, he's a metro bus operator, just not somebody you'd expect. Perhaps to.
I've seen a few bus drivers in my time, but that's it's good news. We're infiltrating the transit system.
And he's very sympathetic to almost everything he hears, so, you know, that's kind of cool, too. I mean.
Well, I will be back, and hopefully we'll have some more exciting tidbits on my return.
Or food.
Who knows? Or maybe food will be your fate. It could happen.
All right. God bless you.
All right, man. In the alcove of the Rouge, which is empty. A little music from a couple of old timers. Lee's is strumming away.
Oh, here we go. We gotta get this. Let's
We have a whole new interpretation of the property damage that happened on May 1st by our anonymous but well-educated expert. Sir, you say that down here at the corner of wherever the hell this is, near the bookshop, Santa Cruz, actually on or above the Pacific Avenue Pizza and Grill, a new graffiti appeared?
Yeah.
And what was that graffiti? Did you do it? Let's get that first straight.
No, I didn't do it, but I couldn't help but notice it.
And what did you notice when you saw this?
It said ASID.
ASID, which stands for...
acid, which is the opposite of base.
But acid is A-C-I-D. Isn't there a misspelling here of some kind?
It's just like all the people that were like, oh my gosh, graffiti, oh, those evil graffiti people. Well, in this case...
it was an Inca demonstration about the 2012 end of the world, perhaps?
I'm not quite sure about that.
No, I'm not either.
But it was a complex, I mean, it was very sophisticated. It was like, it had a chiral symmetry to it.
Chiral meaning, for those who don't know...
it's binary.
Meaning, again, for those who aren't mathematically oriented...
acid is the opposite of base.
Yes.
And just like as the
guy can't spell, or he just likes S instead of C. What's the problem here?
It would appear that the same
uneducated graffiti artist.
It would just like all the people that are complaining about it, even though it was a genius tag. I mean, like it was a formula essentially
for.
I don't know, but there's a formula. It's a formula that can be applied to like any combination of letters. Probably you can.
So you see a mystical meaning, a special message in this particular tag.
Yeah, and it was even more interesting was that it would seem, because the next day, like it was the day after that, it would seem that the same person that put the tag up painted over it and then painted the whole wall.
How do you know it was the same person?
I don't know it was the same person.
So you're guessing again. This is guesswork on your part. I want
guesswork.
More accuracy. I need more specificity how can we believe you at this time?
It would appear that the same person that put the tags up did the paint job.
What do you mean it would appear?
Really? Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's just like watching everybody go crazy.
As you can see, rumors are rife here on Pacific Avenue, and I'm hungry. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. We've been talking with our anonymous informant.
Don't say I didn't try.
Don't say I didn't try. Thank you. We're talking with
Michelle Belfield.
And Michelle, you're kind of reminding me of a story that happened where you're telling me you lost all your property because of negligence by a union worker.
Yeah, negligence by this one union, Karen. I won't even bring her last name up. I had given notice I was going to leave on the 3rd of this last month and everything. It wasn't even it wasn't even 2 weeks near that, and I had all my property packed up. She took it upon herself to pack it. She said she packed all my stuff up, put it out there, which meant in the street, all down to my prescription sunglasses, everything I own. When I asked the police officers if they'd do anything, they just threatened me and said if I didn't stop hollering at them, they were going to lock me up. Seeley, as a matter of fact. Officer Eric Seeley, piece of shit Seeley, that scumbag.
The homeless resource officer.
Yeah, the homeless resource officer who showed up. And wouldn't even listen to me about the vandalism on my bike from Spokesman Bike Shop when I had to take some saddlebags and a rack back that almost caused me to fall and almost kill myself. He wouldn't even listen to me, Eric Seeley, the homeless resource officer.
Tell me again.
Came up and threatened me, accused me of being high on dope. He says the only time that I'm yelling and upset is when I'm high on dope. He said, you know, I'm going to take this test, count 1 to 30. I counted 1 to 30, but I'm surprised he didn't attempt illegal search and seizure. I'm not on parole. I'm not even on probation. I'm not even in the system. But he threatened me. He goes, you know, if you don't stop hollering at me, I'm going to lock you up. I said, well, go right ahead. I'm hungry, tired, and cold. And the fact of, you know, what these people took down to my money, everything. I was
now, remind me again of where this happened.
SEIU Union, 517 Mission, SEIU.
What was your position there?
I was the caretaker guard dog. I watched the property for 2.5 years. I kept all the graffiti off the wall, all the alcoholics, addicts, all the dope fiends, everybody out of there, all the thieves, everything. Mm-hmm. I kept the place safe.
Now, were you paid or did you just get lodging?
No, I got lodging on the porch.
So they didn't give you a union scale?
No, not union scale, no.
They give you nothing except lodging?
They got nothing but bullshit.
They give you a kick in the boot and then your stuff gets dumped in the trash?
Yeah, when I was trying to leave anyway, this one union worker, yeah, she's just a sick little person.
Now, were you discharged your position for some reason?
No, I quit. I quit because of what I was digging in the soil in the garden. I got in contact with contaminated soil. I got this ugly bacteria on me. It isn't Staph aureus, but it was so bad, I almost died. I was accused of blocking the view of their shed, okay, and this new director tried to start up. I mean, the view of a shed, mind you, because...
With blocking the view of a shed with?
With my tapestry up that was covering the porch when it was downpouring rain, and I was down to where this bacteria downed me to where it almost killed me, and the fact that my doctor had not found an antibiotic that I could take.
You're doing better now.
I'm doing a little bit better, yet, because I can finally take doxycycline. I'm not allergic to it. But as you can see, my hands and everything still...
You look a little scaly.
Yeah, I do. I'm quite scaly still, huh? Yeah, and then my nose and everything, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Looks like you're, skin peeling.
It almost killed me, though. But that's what this...
Now, what about this tapestry? How big was the tapestry? What was the problem?
It was just my quilt that covered, from one side of the porch to the other, down to my tarps. They threw my mat out down to my prescription sunglasses, my spokesman, bike glasses from the bike shop, everything, all my clothes, my brand new clothes, everything that I just, everything, down to my pretty little my brand new little glass teapot, everything that I just bought to go into my room that I'm still waiting to get right now from my clean and sober brother, Stefan, who works down at the shelter.
Wish you luck with that room, and again, we've been talking with...
Michelle Belfields, and God bless you, Robert.
Thanks, Michelle.
And it looks like back in the studio after an illness absence is the inimitable Uncle Dennis. He'll be with you for the next 3 hours, creaming the dregs or dragging things down from the cream. I'm not sure what's happening, Dennis. Anything coming up?
Well, I just wanted to point out that Uber architect and hopeful for the... Santa Cruz,
he's going to crow now. This is the guy who was
Santa
too
Cruz
sick
County
to call in to do a
supervisor.
Real debate, but he wants to crow that poor Cove Britton was defeated by the people's choice, that man who sent the homeless out of town, Neil Coonerty.
I wanted to crow about the fact that he spent $60,000 of his own money to lose.
Yes. Well, you remember now, I don't know if that's something to crow about, even though I don't think I necessarily agree with all of Cove Britton's views. I think that in order to fight the huge amounts of money that incumbents, or the advantage that incumbents have, and that's Neil Coonerty certainly, you need a lot of money, unfortunately, if you want to get into the race.
Well, I hope Cove Britton runs during every election and spends at least $60,000 each time.
You want to bankrupt poor Cove Britton, don't you? What is your problem with Cove Britton? I'm going to call him. You two are going to have to come together. Maybe we get John Malkin to do a peace thing with the two of you. Anyway, folks, we're going to leave this issue aside because as of now, my time is up. It's 8 o'clock straight up. Time for From the Cream to the Dregs with Uncle Dennis. I will be back on Sunday. You can also catch me tomorrow at the Street Performers Guild meeting. And I will be there checking out hopefully some way of stopping the harassment of folks downtown who are street performers or trying to enjoy street performers that our fine police department and their minions are engaging in using the infamous heckler's veto that I've talked about so much. That's 5 o'clock tomorrow at Loudoun Nelson Center. I'll be back here in the studio at 9:30, possibly before, on Sunday, and I'll be doing a show. I will not be in the studio a week from Sunday, however, because I'm heading south to deal with the Ninth Circuit Court, which is having an en banc hearing overseeing the question of city council false arrests of critics at city council. I was the guy who was falsely arrested, the critic, and we're going to see if the Ninth Circuit is going to allow a trial on that issue, which has been so far postponed twice and is taking a hell of a long time to get to. Uncle Dennis is sorting the mics out. He's getting ready to boogie. If you put some music on, I'll stop talking and hit the road.
Oh, is that it?
That's my offer in this situation. Also, I remind you, if you want to have any of your thoughts brought forward on the air, you can, of course, call in during the next show. Or you can also leave me a message at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the organization that I have been endlessly putting out literature on, babbling about, and so forth. And you can catch me there. Or you can also get on the HUFF email list by sending an email to rnorse, that's me, R-N-O-R-S-E, 3, rnorse3 at hotmail.com. The show will be archived on the HUFF website, huffsantacruz.org, in about a day, in case you want to hear it again, if you do. Thanks, and tune in for Dennis's music and meanderings on issues of some import if you're into these questionable environmental issues, which Dennis can educate you on. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Yeah, we'll just cut that off right about there. Right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1, www.freakradio.org. Uncle Dennis, back in the house. I do want to apologize to all my loyal listeners who were expecting me to be on the air the last couple of weeks. But unfortunately, I was ill. And I have recovered, thanks to the miracle of modern antibiotics. But I did not feel good for a while. You are listening to From the Cream to the Dregs, and we're going to explore the music of the 60s and 70s, as we always do right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1, www.freakradio.org, until about 11 o'clock. Of course, coming up at 9 o'clock will be the Earth First Update. We'll open a brew of a week here in a few minutes, and then at 10 o'clock we do a whole hour of one group or artist, our spotlight group of the week. So stay tuned for all of that. Right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 15 years on the air, no stinking license.
Okay, I'm going to slow it down with a blues number here.